Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning. I'm Kevin, and we welcome you if it's your first time here. If you're joining us online, we welcome you. And y'all came ready to worship today. I can hear it, and I can feel it, even all the way up front. That's great. I want to just introduce you to, you probably, if you walked in these doors somewhere, you were given a card that looks like this. I think it'll appear on the screen behind me. But this card we're going to be very intentional about for the next 4 weeks as we get ready for the Christmas season. We are told by people who are smarter than me and study this that Christmas and Easter are the two times a year when people are most open to being invited to church, to their faith. We know that being invited to church is not the be-all, end-all, but it is a great start, and we do believe that what we do on Sunday morning matters. So what you'll see is a Christmas invite with some information on the back. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're asking you to do. You're going to take this card this week, and you're not going to do anything with it other than put it in a place where you're going to run into it repeatedly so that you would pray about who it is that I should invite. Next week when you come, we'll have more of these, but we're also going to have a card for you to actually write the name of the person or persons, plural, that you think the Lord is laying on your heart to invite, and we're going to place them up front. I think we're going to actually have a manger, and we're going to pray over those names. So this is the start of, for 4 weeks, we're going to talk about what does this mean. Well, this is nice and shiny and it looks good. It's a whole lot more than that. And we believe we actually have been praying about what's going to happen on the property, what's going to happen in the lobby, who's going to be the greeters, what's the messages we're going to share, what's the music that we're going to sing. All of those elements have been prayed about and thought about well before we got to December. Now we need you to go pray and go after the people that the Lord lays on your heart and then hand this out and invite people in the next few weeks to get ready for Christmas. We're in a new series that starts today on generosity. And so we're going to attack this for the next few weeks, and I think it's going to be a great series. I'm excited about this, and I want to just define this for you. A kid said it this way: generosity is a willingness to help someone. And it's a willingness to help someone beyond what is typically expected. Here's what it says in Hebrews 13. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. There's two words as we launch, first weekend of Thanksgiving. I know, Kevin, I can't believe you just talked about Christmas invites. But there's two words that appear in this one word. We're going to highlight as we launch towards the end of November. We know it's Thanksgiving season that we begin now. Many of us are so excited because, yes, we finally get to hunt. And we're looking, some of us, towards Black Friday, and we're looking, some of us, towards some days off, and we're looking, some of us, towards... But I want us to focus on the second component as we gather, every time we gather, the second word of this one word, actually, which is giving. Thanksgiving, and we're going to focus on the second part of this word. Now, so we're clear, because some of you are new, and some of you might want to tune me out already. This is the start of my 15th month here. I have preached on giving once. One time have I gone after the subject of giving in 15 months. So if you're new today, you'd probably be like, oh, man, this is my first Sunday here, and this dude's going to talk about giving and generosity. You can ask the folks around you. That's the truth. Now, it comes up in other messages. It comes up at other times. It should be really a reflection of our lives. But the truth is, and I know preachers exaggerate, one time in 15 months. I stood up here and I had a can and I put a mic on that can, if you'll remember, and I kept dropping coins in that can. I had a board member tell me after about the fourth or fifth time, yeah, Kevin, we get it. And he said, but then by the end, I sort of caught on and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I see what we're doing here. So I'm not making an apology for this. I'm not, you know, it's not a teaser. We're going to go after this for the next few weeks, which means you should still show up. It's going to be good. Kevin, why would you talk about money and possessions and giving? Shouldn't we talk about more spiritual things on a Sunday morning as we gather? I mean, if we were talking about how to read your Bible, that would make sense. Let's talk about Scripture. If we're going to talk about prayer, that makes sense to us. We should talk about worship. That would make a lot of sense to us. But don't talk about giving and generosity and our money. That's not what we should do on Sunday morning. I'm going to argue against that. We could even talk about you should serve in kids ministry or movement with the youth. I want to show you a picture of a family who was here about a month ago. This family is the Domrose family. They came about a month ago. They are missionaries in our tribe. They're Nazarene missionaries. And this family just left or is leaving, I think, this week to go to Curacao to plant a church. And they shared beautifully with us in all of our services on Sunday, in our two English-speaking services. They shared with our Esperanza Viva service. And we decided as a church leadership before they came, I had met them this summer, they have to raise their own support. So we decided as a church board, we said, listen, let's just take the pressure off them. They go to these different churches. They're having to raise their money. Let's tell them right up front, we're going to give you $5,000. So when I called him and told him that a Wednesday before they got here on Sunday, he said, what? You mean, I said, I'm telling you right now, no matter what kind of offering we take, we're going to give you $5,000. The pressure's off. Just know that you're going to come. I want you to share in freedom. Just share your story. And just, you know, our church, I promise you, will do probably above and beyond that. And I had a board member sitting across from me that night in the board meeting said, Kevin, you tell them at minimum we'll do that. Well, we sent them a check for $5,000 after the weekend that they were here. And 10 days ago, Angela Cole sent them another check for $6,500. Yeah, you could clap for that. Because our church just decided over the next few weeks, they were so moved and so touched that they were just going to keep giving. And he called us and then sent an email and said, we don't even know what to say. We made the decision that we were going to do this for 3 years consecutive to take care of their worrying about it. But I mean, our church just, that's amazing. In one Sunday morning, this family came and they shared and people were just moved. That's generosity. That's beautiful. Let's start with Scripture. I've read one, but I'll give you another one. This one will appear on the screen behind me. Proverbs says this: a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, lest you think that I'm going to preach a prosperity gospel this morning. You give and God will do this. That's not at all what I think this scripture is saying. That is not at all what we believe. This clearly says a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will also be refreshed. Now, some of you know our church history, some of you don't. So I'm going to go through this quickly. I want to make this clear. The Church of the Nazarene believes in missions, evangelism, discipleship, giving. We believe in a lot of things, but I want to show you the very beginning of who we are. When I say this, it doesn't mean that we're better than Catholics or Baptists or Methodists or anyone else, non-denominational churches. You're sitting in a Nazarene church, though. You should know how we started. And here's a picture of two men. This is Joseph Whitney. In the late 1800s, Joseph Whitney was a doctor. He was in South Central Los Angeles, and he was serving all people, but predominantly also serving not just the people who could afford it, but the people who couldn't afford it. He was so good and so wise and so well thought of, he became the president of the University of Southern California. He met the next man that you're going to see on the screen, and his name was Phineas Brazee. And both of these men were in South Central Los Angeles, and they were serving, and they were working at what this next picture shows, what was called the Penial Mission in South Central Los Angeles. And this was designed to give out clothing and to give out food and to also provide for medical services for people who simply couldn't afford them. These two guys looked around and they said, "Who is serving the people in the margin?" That was the start of the Church of the Nazarene. It is not the only thing that we focused on. We're not just a social group. But we do believe as Christians, we have a social responsibility to meet the needs of people. And that's the ethos. That is the genesis of how we started. Is that amazing? It's beautiful. We celebrate that. This is about today, not just, you know, your money. It's not. It is about your time, your talent, your treasure, your touch. You just witnessed a group of people, most of which who are not paid, who shared and gave of their time, they gave of their talent, and they gave of their touch to lead us in worship. A driving purpose of this church and the Church of the Nazarene is to elevate those in need. Here's a quote by missionary Amy Carmichael. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot. The whole idea of generosity, it starts with God. So as I get ready to open this scripture, I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you treasure? If we were to think right now, let's just pause for 15, 30 seconds. I don't know, and I bet you men treasure different things than women. What is it that you have that you would say, I treasure blank? Some of us, it might be a photo album. Some of us, it might be a car. Some of us, it's our gun. Are you allowed to say that in church? I mean, we definitely treasure things. We moved 15 months ago from Pennsylvania to here, and my wife gets a little frustrated. She'll be in the second service because as we moved, and we've done this multiple times, we seem to, as I get involved in the process, I sort of hold things loosely. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I just get tired of moving stuff. So guess what we do? We throw a lot of stuff out. Now, we try not to throw things out that we treasure. In the next service, I'm going to have a jacket on that I treasure, but here's something that I treasure. Well, of course, Kevin, you're the preacher. You brought a Bible. This is a Bible that I got when I graduated from high school. This will eventually outlive me, and probably one of my kids and maybe grandkids will get this. Here's what it says, written by my dad upon my graduation. Son, this is one of the greatest treasures that we can give to you. If you will continue to follow the precepts of this book, you will give back to your mom and I the greatest gift that you could ever give us. A life lived for Jesus. We love you, your mom and your dad. Treasure. What is it that you treasure? I haven't always done a good job of that. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking in his most famous sermon. Sorry, that's tender. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Pause right there. Three different levels that he's identifying here. Moths, which would ruin probably most clothing. Vermin, and some of your translations would say rust. And then the third one is thieves. I'm curious, without a show of hands, have you ever been robbed? I remember the night that we got robbed in my home in Pennsylvania. Woke up the next morning. It's pretty scary. Do you know what it feels like to be robbed? Where thieves do not break in and steal. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to stop and say this too. If you're sitting here and you say, man, I got to be honest with you, Kevin, I could really argue hard and fast against tithing because that's an Old Testament concept. Tithing is entry-level stuff. 10% is at the base level of what's required, because Jesus comes along in every single case of what happens in the Old Testament, and he takes it to another level and says more and more and more. You have heard that it was said, and then Jesus comes along and he says, but I tell you. Just so we understand this, there are 16 out of 38 parables that Jesus told that are related to money or possessions. That means that I should at minimum preach on money or possessions once a month. Y'all would love that, right? Oh, man. 2,300 verses in the Bible about this. Just so you get this, the word believe appears 272 times. The word pray appears 371 times. The word love appears 714 times. And the word give appears 2,152 times in Scripture. Matthew chapter 6. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Pause this. I want you to let me reread this so you get the juxtapose. Are you listening? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and slightly less like the other. You will despise the one and almost despise the other. That's not what he says. He doesn't say you will love the one and like the other. He doesn't say you will love the one and tolerate the other. He makes this ridiculous claim. You will hate the one and love the other. It's like I should say it from this side and go all the way over here and say it to this side, because it's such a vast difference. You cannot serve both of these. It's impossible. He also doesn't say you cannot serve both God and fame. He doesn't say you can't serve God and country. He doesn't say you can't serve God in sex. Jesus, out of the mouth of Jesus, in his largest, most important, crucial sermon, says you cannot serve both God and money. Oh, boy. When's this sermon over? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, in verse 25, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes, where moths would ruin them? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I'll not forget, it was men's retreat. It was at Ocracoke Island, and Dr. Brian Charette was sharing, and I have never forgotten this moment when he talked about the different times in his life where birds had appeared randomly. And he just shared several different stories, and I thought, wow, that is so weird but beautiful. And so we're leaving Ocracoke, and as you get ready, you have to get on a ferry to leave the island to come back to the mainland. I'm standing there, and I'm still processing this idea of worry and birds in the air and Brian Charette sharing about this. And in that, right before we get on the ferry, I look up and there's like three or four birds just flying around. I think two of them were seagulls, and I don't know what the other two were, and they're just flying, and then they just land. And it was like God just settled in on me, and he said, do you see them? You remember what Brian just talked about? Kevin, I need you to stop worrying about stuff. And I need you to trust me like what Brian said, and I need you to realize these birds, I got them. And I got you. Stop worrying. And from that moment forward, I can't tell you how many times and how many different places that I'll be in a season of life where it's not just about money, it's about something that's going on in our life or our family or the church or whatever. And I'll be somewhere and I'll look up into the sky and there'll just be a bird or two birds or a flock of birds. And it'll be like the Lord just whispers to me, you remember? You remember when I told you? Will you trust me? Will you stop worrying? Will you just relax and rest in what I've always done for you, which is provide for you? You know what's wild about these words? These words are penned, are you listening? By Matthew the tax collector. The most hated, he should have never been picked for this group because a tax collector was thought of worse than a prostitute. His job was to just randomly assign, I'm going to charge you this to come in this portion of the country. He ripped off his own people. So when Matthew writes these words, even him himself, he probably had his hands shaking going, how am I going to believe this stuff? Here's a picture of John Wesley. We are Wesleyans in our heritage, and I want to read you just a quick story about John Wesley. Wesley had just finished buying some pictures for his room when one of the chambermaids came to his door. It was a winter day, and he noticed that she only had a thin linen gown to wear for protection against the cold outside. He reached into his pocket, and he wanted to give her some money to buy a coat. And he found that he had hardly any change in his pocket. And it struck him in that moment, the Lord is not pleased with you, John. In 1731, as a result of this incident, Wesley decided that he was going to limit his expenses. He was going to give everything he made above and beyond his salary to the poor. He records that one year his income was 30 pounds. His living expenses were 28 pounds, so he gave the 2 pounds away. The next year, his income had doubled. His ministry started to grow, and he had 60 pounds. He gave away 28 pounds and still lived on the same. In the third year, his income jumped to 90 pounds, and again, he lived on 28 pounds and gave 62 pounds away. In the fourth year, he made 120. He again lived on 28 and gave 92 to the poor. He did this all the way up to the end of his life. He had made over 1,000 pounds in one of his last years of ministry, and he gave every bit of away, and he lived on 28 pounds. Well, that's great. That's pretty radical. That is radical. That is generosity. That is a guy who the Lord caught up, just grabbed a hold of his heart and said, what are you doing here? I need to do some work through you. Will you let me do it? And will you let me prove that I can still provide for you? I want to just ask you this question. Have you ever met a generous, miserable person? Have you met one? Have you ever encountered a stingy, joyful person? I've not. Sociologists have so many stats on generosity connected to a person's joy. I don't have time in this message to give them to you. I do want to show you a more modern version than even John Wesley. This is Bill Magnuson. Bill Magnuson is a piano tuner, and I want you to watch what happens when his heart got strangely warmed. Watch this. Jesus ends Matthew 6 with these words. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He does know that we need things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just to drive home one final point about generosity, I'm going to do a little demonstration here. You've probably seen some version of something like this before. But I just want to use an empty vessel here that, let's just pretend, is me. This is me, and I have 168 hours in a week, and that's represented by this vessel, and I'm just going to fill my vessel with the things that consume my week. So I have sand here, and so I have to eat. Now, some of you could scoop a lot more in here than maybe what I'm going to scoop. Actually, I probably could scoop the most. I love to eat. So I just scoop however many would represent the amount of time that I eat. How about sleep? I got to sleep during the week, so I'm going to put some sand in here that would represent the amount of time I spend sleeping. Studying. Well, it's obvious the way you preach, Kevin. You study just nonstop every week. I mean, just we don't know how you have time to even meet with people. So I do some studying. I got to meet with people. People in church have problems. I know that shocks you, but there are sometimes problems, and so I have to have meetings with them. It's not always a problem. Sometimes it's a great joy. So some of my time is spent with that. I got to spend time with my family. You know, we got basketball games to go to. We're running back and forth to practices. So some of my time is taken up doing those things. If you're a student sitting here, you'd say, well, I'm in school 8 hours a day. It's killing me. Now, some of you aren't in school 8 hours a day, but you're spending time and you're in school. And if you're Jeremiah, you're studying. He'll probably watch that. So what are the rest of the things that you have in the week to do? I don't know what they are for you. Right now you could, well, I got to go hunting, and right now I got, you know, it's the end of the year's coming, and we got different stuff at work, and right now I got, so whatever those things are for you that fill up your 168 hours in the week, you do all these things, and you just, you know, you fill this up. You don't have more than 168 hours, but you fill it up, and you get to the end, and you realize, wait a minute, I have forgotten something. You know what I forgot? I forgot God. I forgot in all of those things that I was doing, none of which, by the way, seem bad. None of which are evil, all of which are probably necessary. But it seems like I've done all these things, and I've gone about my week, and I've done all the regular things that everybody does, and I got to the end, and that was like, oh, wait a minute. And you probably already know what's coming next. That's not what Scripture says. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first, seek first, seek first. And you know what we could do? We have this same container, same size, same amount of sand, and we can take God and we can put Him first in all of those things. And I won't do it for the sake of time. Worship team, you can come. And we can just scoop every bit of this sand back into this container. And guess what, friends? Let me see if I can do this without spilling it. When He's first, I put all those same things, my school, my work, my study, my eating, my sleeping, my going to practice, my hunting, my every single thing I got. And when I put Him first, and I shake it out just a little bit, it all still fits. Same container, same stuff, but Scripture is saying, would you put me first? And if you will put me first, then all of these other things, which everybody else is running after, including you, I'll take care of them. You might be sitting here and you're young and you say, Kevin, I don't even have a job. Would you consider putting God first in your time, in your talent, in your touch? Who in your school needs to be touched by you? Some of you have plenty of money and you're not even doing entry-level tithing stuff. I don't understand that. In just a couple weeks, I'm going to go after this concept of more, because really all He's asking you to do is just put me first. Just put me first and see what I will do in your life. Stand with me. We're going to close today by celebrating in communion. There's one last slide up there before we get to communion, and it talks about this idea of we want to move this month from Thanksgiving. Oh, I want you to give in ways that you've never thought about. But I want it just to be a part of who you are, Thanksgiving. This is who we are. We're a people of generosity that God so moves your heart that it would turn into Thanksgiving. Listen, friends, I want to make this clear. God doesn't want something from us. He wants something for us. He wants something for us. As the music begins to play and we worship here, you're invited to come. There's four tables in the room. You don't have to be a member of this church. You just have to have turned from sin and turned to Him. And we're going to, in common union, celebrate what He gave us. So you're going to come and you can receive the elements, go back to your seat, just hang on to them, and we'll celebrate at the end of this song together in communion of what He gave, which motivates our generosity. You can move.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.